I run a YouTube channel that I call Something to be Scared of. It's not weird or anything, but it is exactly how it sounds. I travel the country and film in what are supposedly haunted locations. I spent the night in the Lizzie Borden house in Massachusetts last year, and ever since that video, my channel has really taken off. Although, I'm 19 and I wasn't really expecting that sort of success. Not that fast, anyway. But here I am. It was hard to find locations that other channels hadn't already filmed to death, though. There's so much competition nowadays. So when I received the letter 2 days ago, I was pretty excited. I mean, I received a lot of promotional stuff. Invitations to hotels, haunted bed and breakfasts, and even castles in Quebec. Locations that would offer me a free stay in exchange for promoting their location. But this particular invitation was different. Everything about it, from the very beginning. Most of them are through email, like everything nowadays. But this invitation was handwritten, and it came in this huge black envelope with red roses on it. It was really pretty, and at first, I thought it might be fan mail. But then I opened it, and it was a letter written on thick, red cardstock, and every word was capitalized. It was from the owner of a brand new Airbnb in town. They had seen my YouTube channel and thought that I could really help them get their business off the ground and running. In addition to a $500 payment, they were also offering a prize that could be mine, if I was up for it. They said their house was so haunted that they didn't believe anybody would be able to stay a full night. And this was actually their business strategy. They were hoping to attract guests who wanted to stay in haunted places, and with my help in promoting it, they believed it would be a massive success. Any guest who made it through a 12-hour overnight stay would win the prize. And they said that it was mine if I could make it through. In the main bedroom was a locked safe. And if the occupant made it through the night, the safe would open at 8 o'clock a.m. and the prize inside was theirs to keep. It was $25,000 in cash. They ended the letter by saying that the offer was only good for 3 days, but I'd already made up my mind. I loved a challenge, and I had to admit, I thought their strategy and business plan was really cool, and I was confident that I would make it through the night, no problem. I would be $25,000 richer. I went onto their website and I noticed that it looked like it had been made at least 20 years ago. But no judgment, maybe they had done it themselves. It had the same red and black theme as the letter that they'd sent, which I thought was kind of charming in its own creepy sort of way. I dialed the number they left in the letter, and a woman with a really raspy voice answered the phone.
"This is Frankie, at the Time Worn Inn," she said.
"Hi," I replied. "This is Eden from the YouTube channel Something to be Scared of. I received your letter and would like to accept your offer to stay for a night." Her tone changed from mildly annoyed to excited, and I booked a place for the following night. She gave me the directions as well as the lock code to get inside, and it was set. The rules were simple. I had to last 12 hours in the house, and then the bedroom safe would open in the morning. Inside, $25,000 in cash. But there was only one very important rule. If I left the house at any time, I would be disqualified and the safe would no longer open. I had stayed in some of the most haunted locations across Canada. I'd experienced disembodied voices whispering in my ear. I felt cold, bony fingers touch me in a dark room when nobody was around. I've even asked ghosts personal questions about myself, and I've received answers. I didn't want to sound overly confident or cocky while I was on the phone with Frankie, but I was about to make some serious cash. It took a lot to scare me. Frankie explained that other than leaving the house, nothing was off limits. I could do whatever I needed to do to make it through the night, and I was welcome to explore the house and film for my channel. All they asked was that I didn't post about it until after my stay. They weren't quite ready to book other guests yet, and this was kind of a trial run. The house was in an area that I had never been to before, about an hour outside the city near Treadmore Forest. The road was nothing but rolling green hills and thick forest on each side. It was October, so the leaves were turning red and orange, and even though it was chilly, I rolled the windows down to get that fresh fall air. And I swore I could smell apple crisp wafting in through the cracked window. On either side of the driveway were pumpkins. Not the little ones that are used for jack-o'-lanterns either. Those huge Cinderella ones. You know? The ones that look like they were teleported straight from the 1800s or something. Their vines must have spread out for at least an acre in all directions. It was stunning. Finally, I pulled up to this charming Victorian farmhouse with this huge wraparound porch. It almost looked like a Barbie house, and I immediately got a memory of being a little kid. I would play with my Barbies in their big dream house. Remember those ones? And my mom would be making apple crisp in the kitchen. I would constantly pretend that it was fall. I don't know why. I just really loved imagining fall all year round. I punched the code lock in on the front door. 3876, and walked in, not really knowing what to expect. I didn't think they'd attempt a jump scare or anything like that. This wasn't a Halloween attraction, it was just an Airbnb. But, to my surprise, it was idyllic. It was rustic and light. Exposed wood gave it that country, cottage-type feeling. Really cozy furniture, an original brick fireplace, countless bookshelves, and hanging plants covered the walls. The living room windows were huge and gave a view out to the fall-colored forest. It was perfect. I wished I could stay longer. And the feeling was really powerful, actually. This was my ideal getaway. The kind of place that you imagine in your mind when the world's becoming too much and you need to escape to your own perfect little paradise. And this was mine. I was here. It was almost like Frankie knew me. But no, that's silly. Lots of people love this sort of house design and would love to stay in a place like this forever. No. There I go again. Stay for a couple of nights, I meant. I don't know why I said that. But anyway, I couldn't deny that I was definitely in some sort of autumnal reverie. And I only broke out of it when the antique clock in the corner hit 8 o'clock p.m. It was time. If I could stay here for 12 hours, the money was mine. I walked up the charming wooden stairs and found the master bedroom on my right. And that was when I saw her. The first and only creepy part of the house. She was sitting with this abnormally perfect posture. It was like her spine had lost its natural curve. Her legs were sticking straight out with no bend in the knees, and she was wearing an old Victorian costume. And she was facing away from the door towards the bed. That's why it took me a second to realize that it was just a doll. A life-sized porcelain doll. You would have thought that she was a real person too, with the size of her and the way she was sitting on this antique chair. I think anyone would have fallen for it. She had long brown curly hair. Curly Sue curls, I like to call them. I moved close to get a better look at her. The detail of these dolls is beyond creepy. I really don't know how any kids like to play with these things back in the day. They seem frozen in time with these creepy looks on their faces. I knew that she was just here for effect and to scare people. But still, the lifelike detail was incredible. You could even see what looked like peach fuzz on her face. Acid green eyes underneath a red bonnet stared off into nothingness. Her black lace dress was full with a petticoat underneath and was accented with red roses. The owner of this place really liked red and black. I wasn't scared. It was just the size of her that creeped me out. I turned the chair that she was sitting in around and made her face the wall so I wouldn't have to look at her anymore. I was surprised how heavy the chair was. She'd startled me so bad that I'd noticed her before the safe. But there it was. Right on the other side of the room. It was one of those black, antique, cast iron safes with gold writing on the outside. I thought it would be bigger to hold that much cash, but then again, I had never seen that kind of money in real life before. I think this is where most people would mess up. They would be so tempted to explore the old house. And when they did, they would find something. And once they found it, they would be too scared to stay. And this was how I was going to win that money. I changed into pajamas, washed my face, and I got into bed. Then I put my headphones in to tune out any noises that the old house would make. If this place really was haunted, I was just gonna sleep right through it. That was my strategy. As I was drifting off,
falling into that dreamy state between asleep and awake, that was when I heard the humming. It was so distinct that it woke me up and I pulled my headphones off. But by then, it had stopped. It had to have just been the podcast, so I picked another one. Some talk show about delaying gratification. And I fell asleep. My strategy worked. I woke up to an unfamiliar clicking sound, and then, once I got my bearings, I realized it was the safe unlocking. It was 8 o'clock a.m., and I had done it. I got up so fast from the bed that I could feel my heart pounding to catch up with my suddenly alert body, and I pushed the large cast iron handle downwards and pulled the door open. In the seconds before I lost consciousness, I remember seeing a bomb of red dust explode. And then everything went black. I woke up to the feeling of what I thought was splinters in my back, and I realized I was being dragged along the floor of the bedroom. I managed to look up and I saw the life-size doll still sitting in her chair. Somebody had turned her back around and she was staring down at me with those green eyes. I almost wanted to call out to her for help. Then everything went dark again. When I came to, my back felt like an iron rod had replaced my spine. My knee joints were gone. I couldn't bend my legs. And my skin, it was tight and burning, like I'd been covered in wax. Or porcelain. In my peripheral vision, I could see the life-size doll in the black and red dress. I tried to break the paralysis I was in, if that's what this was, but I couldn't speak. Every muscle was frozen. I couldn't move my head. I was sitting in a chair by the window, and I could see the fields outside. The fall colors, the pumpkins. I even thought I could smell the apple crisp again. But I was trapped, staring in the direction that I'd been placed. That was when I realized that I was a doll. The creaky door opened and I recognized the raspy voice from the phone. She was holding my camera and started filming me. She said,
"Hello, Eden. You look beautiful. Now, let's really give them something to be scared of."
And then, the humming. There it was again. I couldn't help it. I started humming along.